Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and Tom Hornacek is with us again today. If you had a chance to tune into the program yesterday, he and I spent the program just celebrating the life of Our Lady, celebrating that beautiful solemnity of the Immaculate Conception and seeing Our Lady, the beginning of the new creation, the first to receive that great grace that Jesus gave, that Jesus won for us on the cross. And imagine he did it for his mother. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, Tom, welcome. Tom is a good friend.
Thanks, Peter.
Tom's a fixture here at Ave Maria Radio. He's on his own time. He's really been a driver of Catholic radio up in northern Michigan. He'll probably tell that story at some point. And now here he helps Ave Maria at the Pledge Drive annually twice a year. And among other things. And he's a real servant of God. So I invited him to come and just share with us this week your story, because you do have quite an interesting story.
Oh, God is so merciful. You know, the good news, Peter, is each one of us are on a different development plan.
Yeah, that's
right. And he knew what I needed.
Yeah.
So I have one brother, mom and dad, and we grew up in the grocery business. And we're Methodists. My mom was a very holy woman, but we never read the Bible, or we didn't pray together much, once in a while at a meal. And we had to work from 5 years old on, which I didn't want to do, but I'm glad that I was made to do it. So we grew up in the grocery business all of our life. And at one point, we moved to Pinconning, Michigan, which is a small farming town. And I finished my last 3 years of high school there. And the store had burned, and they weren't going to rebuild. And we wanted to get farther north. My parents did. So in high school there in Pinconning, I met my wife, Karen, my first wife, Karen. And so I was going out on dates with her, but when we went out on a date, we'd go to Mass. And I was going to Mass with her, and I'd never experienced the Catholic Church. But I thought, wow, this is really beautiful. I like this. So we dated for 2-3 years and got married. But before I got married, I came into the Catholic Church, and my parents were fine with that as long as I was going to church. So I got sacramentalized, but I didn't get catechized. A new young deacon met with me. There was no RCIA then. Mm-hmm. So I really did not know anything about my Catholic faith. But we'd go to Mass on the weekends.
You made the distinction. You were sacramentalized but not catechized. So help people. Maybe some people don't understand what you meant by that.
When you're sacramentalized, that means you've received the sacraments, that you're Catholic, and you can receive the Eucharist. However, I was never given the teachings of the Church. I was never given the fullness of faith and how to develop a prayer life and to live and what they meant, and that how frequently you should go to confession. Because from that point on, I didn't go to confession. I didn't go for 20 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Nobody talked about it.
Yeah.
The priests didn't talk about it. Nobody talked about it. And so we would go to Mass most of the time. I mean, if we're up camping, we'd miss. But see, nobody had told me any of that, Peter. Like, if you miss Mass, that you need to go to confession before you receive communion again. I didn't know any of that. So anyway, things are pretty good. You know, our business is good. We're going on trips and stuff with the business. And then our first daughter comes along, and she's deaf. So a little curveball in our perfect life, but we threw ourselves into her education, and so that she could be brought up being able to lip read and to speak, so she could function in the world more easily. And we had a second daughter, and life is good. I'm a lukewarm Catholic, didn't pray the rosary, didn't pray much unless I needed something, looked a little porn in the magazines. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's okay. It just gets the engine running. You know, other guys do it.
So those were the lies you were telling yourself at
the
time. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't even know the Ten Commandments. I couldn't have named you five of them. So all that is going on. And I think I'm a great Catholic because compared to the other guys I knew, I'm a good guy. I'm a good Catholic. Well, so we had a business, and the first real encounter was my brother had a barbecue at his house for all of our managers. And at the barbecue, there was a lot of beer. So I had a few beers that night. Well, the next morning, we had to go to Mass at St. Anne's in Linwood, Michigan. It was an 8 a.m. Mass for my wife's father had passed of cancer the year before. So 8 o'clock in the morning, Mass begins. We get there, and I don't feel good. self-inflicted. And I walk in and I get on the kneeler, and all of a sudden it started. And that is, my heart was racing. I felt really hot, like I was going to black out. And also in my head, I kept hearing over and over, "Tom, why do you feel like this? Just get up and walk out. Walk out those doors. You walk out those doors and you'll feel great. Go out in your van. You'll feel good. You don't need to feel like this. Why do you feel like this?" That's what I heard over and over and over. Hmm. Now, I got to tell you, that was the first time in my life I started praying, because the only thing that kept me in that pew praying was my pride. Because if I walk out, they're all going to say, what's Tom going out? The whole family was there for this mass. Well, he had too much to drink last night. So my pride kept me there. And I prayed and I prayed and I made it through mass. And I didn't even tell my wife Karen about it because I was so embarrassed. So we go to mass the next weekend. Nothing to drink before, night before, nothing. I get in, I get on the kneeler, and I start to pray. And it started again. My heart's racing. I feel like I am 100 degrees. When we're standing up, I feel like I'm going to pass out. And those voices in my head, "Tom, why do you feel like this? You don't need to feel like this. Just get up and walk out. You walk out that door, you'll feel great," over and over. Now I'm praying, "Lord, get me free from this." I thought at that time they were talking about panic attacks. Mm-hmm. "Oh, that's why my heart's racing. You know, as a guy, I got this. I got this." So I'm just praying through it. And I didn't tell my wife, Karen, still what had happened. Well, this went on week after week after week. I'm about 4 weeks into it. And I could get through it. But the fourth week, I was a confirmation sponsor for my nephew. And I'm up in the front of the church, suit and tie. And actually, I ran across the picture the other day, which I thought was interesting that the Lord brought that up again. And I got hit. My heart's racing. I feel like I'm 100 degrees. I feel like I'm going to go down. And this is the first time. And no one had told me to do this. This was just the Holy Spirit. Mm. In my head, I didn't voice it. I just said, "Lord Jesus Christ, you free me from this affliction and I will serve you forever." And Peter, the minute I thought that last word, I got hit with a cold blast of air from the top of my head to let my toes. Mm. And I was literally shaking. And yet I went from 110 degrees to freezing. And the Lord revealed to me who was speaking to me. And I knew who he was. And I was free for the first time in my life. Then I told my wife. Well, then the church posted they needed Eucharistic ministers. So I signed us both up. Well, she wasn't crazy about that. And I said, "Well, Karen, you know, you'll love it and all that." She did. She enjoyed doing it, but she just probably wouldn't have done it. Well, then she went to our parish priest and she said, "If he volunteers me for anything else, you got to talk to me first because he's on fire right now." So next they asked for lectors. So I went and I received training, and they had a really good people training for Eucharistic ministers and lectors. And when I started lecturing and reading the Word of God, that was transforming me every time. There's just, I can't explain the power of that word when you're up there and you're really just trying to speak in the spirit of what the scriptures are revealing. And it's living. So I'm a lector. Then Sister Jean Therese says, "Tom, we need a guy on the RCIA team." I said, "Sister Jean, I don't know anything. I'm just being honest. I don't know anything." She says, "Don't worry. We need a guy on the team. We'll teach you." So I went to my wife. Now, their RCIA team met every week all year. It wasn't like fall to spring. So Karen wasn't crazy about it, but she said, "Okay." So I start going to RCIA, and every time I come home, and she'd say, "Well, how did it go tonight?" I was like, "Oh, Karen, you can't believe what I learned today." And it was everything that I didn't learn about my faith. And I'm revealing that to her. So all of this stuff is going on. And life is good. This is over about a two-year period of time. And both of my daughters were in college at this time. And this is like 2 years after Jesus freed me. And they were going back to college, and we were going to have a little barbecue at our house, and my wife's mother was going to come over and my parents. And I said, "You know, my brother and sister-in-law were home alone." I says, "Why don't we have them come over and eat with us?" And no, I don't want any more people. And I don't know why, Peter, but I just kept pressing that they should be there. And so she said, "Okay." So they came, And we're all done, and we're sitting at the dining room table, and my wife, Karen, come walking out with a platter of some hamburgers or whatever, and she collapsed on the floor in cardiac arrest. Well, my brother and sister-in-law were trained EMTs, and they started CPR and brought her back, and ambulances got her to the hospital. There was no cardiologist on staff. They just stabilized her, and it was a very rough night. Well, the next morning when the cardiologist came in, they did an emergency catheterization, and she had something that's called a cardiovascular spasm, and that is where an artery on her heart clenched shut. They really don't know how to study it because it's very unpredictable. It can happen in your leg or your arm or anything. So they went in and they put a stent in and opened it up. And he said, hey, your arteries are clear. There's no cholesterol, nothing. So Karen's at home and she's recovering. And at the time in our grocery store, we had a hardware in there and florist shop. People just literally filled our house with flowers. She received all this love. It was just unbelievable. And so we're about 2.5 weeks into this, and now no one's staying at home with her. She's doing fine. The cardiologist said, your heart will repair the damage that was done. And when she fell, she had fractured her tailbone, and she was having trouble sleeping. So this was, like, again, 2.5 weeks after this incident. And I was going to a grocery store share group meeting in Flint. And I said to her, why don't you call the cardiologist and see if you could go to the chiropractor, if that's okay. Maybe you're just out of alignment and it'd help you sleep. So I was at the meeting, and that morning I had a break and I called home, and my dad answered. And I said, oh, Dad, I'm sorry, I got the wrong phone number. And he said, no, Tom, we're here at your house. There's something wrong with Karen. He said, meet us at Bay Medical. Mm-hmm. Later I found out, my mom said, she kept getting prompt, call Karen, call Karen, call Karen. So she did, and she's talking with her, and she stopped talking. Well, they had a key to her house, so they ran out to her house, and she was sitting in the chair, and she just went out and didn't respond. She had a brain aneurysm. And they transported her to Bay Medical, and we got there, and it was a great Christian doctor in the emergency room, and he just said, you know, it's a massive leak. My daughters came home, and so they had stabilized her, and again, there was no neurologist on staff. And so that evening, they're going to do surgery. So everybody's there and gathered together. And the neurologist, the surgeon just said, you know, this is very risky. Well, we're going to do it. We're going to try to repair it. And, you know, that kind of surgery is awful because they shave the head and everything. Mm-hmm. So she's in surgery. Our whole family's there. We're in the waiting room. And at one point, my youngest daughter, Sarah, and my mom and I, the three of us come together and we're like, something good just happened. Did you feel it? We said, yes. So we're very encouraged and we're all just praying for that. Mm-hmm. So we think that the Lord is going to act and she's going to make it. But surgery's done. The next few hours are very crucial. You know, next couple hours to see whether she makes it or not. So I know we got to wrap this one up, so I'm...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, we'll hear more of the story tomorrow. You can stick around, can't you?
Oh, yes, I can.
Wow,
sure.
You're leaving us hanging here in the last few seconds. All right. Well, friends, I hope you can join us. Tom, thank you for sharing. This has been... I've been kind of gripped at it. I didn't even look at the clock myself there clearly enough. But anyway, friends, I hope you can join us tomorrow for the rest of the story that Tom's going to share with us. It's inspiring. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.